In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God.
We confess that we are bound to sin and unrighteous ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, and lead us, so that we may be right in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Benevolent God, you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving, to reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure what is precious in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me, and who knows whether they will be wise or foolish. Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all you who dwell in the world. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and my heart shall meditate on understanding. Why should I be afraid in evil days when the wickedness of those at my heels surround me? One can never redeem another or give to God the ransom for another's life. In order to live forever and ever and never see the grave, their graves shall be their homes forever, their dwelling places from generation to generation, though they had named lands after themselves. A reading from Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once allowed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who said me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus is being invited to take part in a family dispute over an inheritance. And it doesn't seem that Jesus really wants to get involved in this dispute. Pastor Saris gives us some context to our gospel lesson today. She reminds us that it was common in first century Palestine for Jews to ask rabbis for a legal ruling. The man thought of Jesus as a respected rabbi who had influence over people and could convince his brother to give him his inheritance. By calling Jesus a teacher, he's acknowledging his authority to render a decision in the case. And when looking at Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 16 and 17, it's the firstborn son that receives a double portion of his father's main estate. Pastor Saris points out that in the parable of the prodigal son, you may recall it's the younger son that is asking for the inheritance to be split up and shared. So in this dispute in our gospel lesson today, the younger son wants a share of the land. The elder brother wants to keep the land intact. The parable that Jesus offers us are the dangers of what can happen to us when wealth is our priority as a means of being satisfied. Now I say all this, as I'm sure many of you, including myself, throughout the nation, dreamed of what we would do with the billion-dollar jackpot had we won it this past weekend through the Mega Millions. But Jesus reminds us that human beings are never satisfied. There's never enough. We always desire more. What's interesting in this scene is that Jesus refuses to take on the role of judge or arbitrator. But he's not quiet about this either. When wealth is an idol, that means it becomes our God. And that means we neglect the living God. When we neglect the living God, then we're going to neglect our neighbor. Because we know that to love God is to love our neighbor. They are one and the same. In the parable, we have this wealthy landowner with an abundant harvest. He's going to need more storage facilities. And this rich man is certainly a good businessman. by the world standards, yet according to Jesus, his cleverness is evil. Hoarding the harvest comes as an expense. It's going to impact the market and ultimately hurt the neighbor. The desires of this wealthy landowner will have an impact on the food supply and create scarcity. We know all too well the impacts of supply and demand. That's a real thing. Prices go up. This farmer's only interested in himself. He doesn't care about the impact that it will have on those in the community, particularly the poor peasants, for instance, that will pay the price both literally and figuratively due to this man's greed. But this is where we get into trouble as human beings. We are so good at rationalizing our behavior when we want to get away with something. When it comes to our identity politics, for instance, we tend to love to always go towards what's often called confirmation bias that affirms rather than challenges our current worldview, or even correct it. This parable is certainly one in helping us to condemn the heresy, the prosperity gospel that's been prevalent in our culture for many, many, many years, believing that the more I have is just a sign of God's blessing and favor. And if you do not have, then you don't have either enough faith or God just doesn't want to bless you. So you can rationalize your greed as not being greed, but just God's perpetual blessing. Because this is what the landowner justifies to himself in the parable. I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. He justifies it in his own soul. He says to himself, I deserve this. Or the very American way of thinking, I alone have earned this. I remember in confirmation class a couple years ago, I was asking the students at the time to describe something they want to go out and buy and purchase. And they said, shoes. I want to buy new shoes. Okay, well, what do you need in order to buy new shoes? And they said, well, I need money. Well, how do you get money? Well, I need to have a job. Okay, well, pick a job. Well, okay, working at McDonald's. All right, what do you need to do to be able to work at McDonald's? What are some of the things you need to do? Well, I need to be able to read. I need to be able to do math. Give back change, amongst other things. All right. Well, who taught you how to read and to do math? Right? Already, you're not doing this alone, right? Someone's had to teach you and give you the ability to do what you're doing in the world to make money and to buy these shoes. And you keep going, we kept going further and further. Okay, so people in the community gave you the ability, taught you these skills, to make money. Let's go back further. What gives you the ability to think and to do these things and to do math? Well, I have a brain. Okay. Well, who gave you a brain? God. Right? You keep going back further and further and further. We're not self-made people. God and the community have nurtured us, shaped us, and formed us. It's all contingent upon something here. Our greed is never justified. It's not just, I do this alone. When we think of it as just a me endeavor, we don't acknowledge how we obtain all those abilities. And then it's no wonder why our desire then comes at the expense of neglecting both God and neighbor when we only think about ourselves. The wealthy landowner thinks that he can judge himself. And Jesus is clear in this parable, that is foolish. If we center ourselves in this way of life, constantly justifying our actions that serve ourselves and neglect God and neighbor, it's not just harmless. Jesus is telling us that we are spiritually bankrupt. Our souls are bankrupt as a result. But there's good news. Always good news, particularly coming from a Lutheran pastor. I just spent this past week in my intensive week at the Methodist Seminary down in Delaware, in my doctoral program, and there is a classmate of mine that's a pastor in the area. We're going to do some projects together, and somebody in my cohort said to Pastor Amy, be careful, because Adam's always going to take you to the cross. You know, our Christian traditions have different emphasis. Pastor Lauren said to Pastor Amy, you'd be eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, he's going to take you to the cross. So this is the cross portion of the sermon this morning, right here. The good news is that we get more than we should because Jesus gives his life and shares his inheritance with us through what? The cross. On the cross, we see faithfulness and a surrendering of oneself for the sake of the world. In Jesus, we have a brother that shares his inheritance with us. That's the good news. We receive the brother's inheritance. We get more from Jesus than we could ever imagine. Because Jesus is more than just a teacher. Sometimes we want to reduce him to just that. He's a wonderful teacher, but more than just a teacher. And Jesus is more than just your typical judge or arbitrator. In Jesus, we encounter God's grace. And Jesus administers God's grace and mercy to the world. And we are given a share of that abundant love of God. Jesus gives us more than we deserve. And the good news is that there's plenty to be shared with others. So we don't need to hoard or fight with one another. We'll continue to hoard and fight with one another, but we don't need to. That's the good news when we hear it and receive it. That's what liberates us from that desire. So a question I want to send you off with is, how are we to live as inheritors of God's rich mercy? How are we to live as inheritors of God's rich mercy? Now, I'm not saying that worldly riches are to be avoided or completely avoided. This is not an invitation to binary thinking that worldly goods are always bad. We use worldly goods in great and wonderful ways to show love and care for those that we love and those in whom we're called to love and those who we're called to serve. We all need our daily bread. Yet we know that the goods of this world will run out. They all have expiration dates. They can be lost and they can be stolen. And you can't take them with you. What we inherit from Jesus never runs out. Our eternal life that is underway, being part of God's new creation, being members of God's family, invites us, as Laurie Cornell puts it, to be executors of our brother's inheritance. We're not called to be judge or arbitrators, but executors, sharing this eternal family fortune. And we don't, when we share it, it's not divided. When we share that love, it multiplies. It multiplies each time we share the love of Jesus, each time we share the inheritance we've received from Jesus in our community and in our world. So, beloved children of God, may our hearts be fixed on our God and the inheritance that we share in and are called to share in the world now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. O God, you are wholeness. Where there is division in your church, bring reconciliation and healing. Guide the work of theologians, Sunday school teachers, seminary professors, and all who provide instruction for the building up of your church. Merciful God. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, our Stephen ministry, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Merciful God. O God, you are the source of all life. Where creation cries out in distress, bring relief and renewal. Bless farmers, ranchers, distributors, and all who provide our food. Nourish the land and all its habitants. Merciful God. O God, you are wisdom. Where nations and communities yearn for peace, bring justice. Strengthen those who toil for the welfare of others, especially military personnel, police, first responders, and activists, and for the healing of the nations. Merciful God. O God, you are life. Where your people are overwhelmed with the busyness of life, bring encouragement. Accompany all who experience emotional, mental, or physical distress, especially Tracy, Scott, Amber, Pat, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Stan, Barb, Jerry, Jasmine, Pete, Cheryl, George, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, and our homebound. Renew us at your table of mercy. Merciful God. O God, you are our treasure. Where scarcity and anxiety pervade your church, bring abundance and vitality. Guide the work of church councils and committees, and give them clarity for the work of ministry in this place. Merciful God. Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade, Luke, and their chaplains. Merciful God. O God, you are resurrection. We give you thanks for all your saints. Inspire us by their example of faithful living to set our minds on things above and to be rich in love toward you. Merciful God.
Receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love. Through Jesus Christ, our holy wisdom. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Thank you. Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to the banquet, for all is not ready. You may be seated. This time, I'd like to invite forward anybody who is assisting with the distribution of the sacrament and those who are participating in Children's Church this morning. Distribution will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.